Good morning.
Morning.
Welcome to Barah Ministries. Today's date is Sunday, January 26th, 2014, and today's study is going to be about choices. We're going to learn how to effectively and confidently make decisions in our lives. I want to turn our attentions to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that way you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And as we allow our mind to be transformed, let's go ahead, let's take a 5-minute break to listen to our opening song. And the opening song today is going to be Motions by Matthew West.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. 'Cause just okay is not enough, help me fight through the nothingness of life. I don't wanna go through the motions, I don't wanna go one more day.
Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of getting to study the absolute truth, the Word of God. Please help us today to learn about our choices. Help us to learn that you ultimately are the choice. Help us to learn that any crossroads that we ever find ourselves in, we can't go wrong by choosing you. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit and in Christ's name. Amen. So welcome again to Barah Ministries. My name is Caleb Alburn, and for those of you who don't know, I'm a deacon here at Barah. And again, today's study is going to be on choices. You know, this is a new year. At least it is for me, because I wasn't here for half of January. And I'm not much of a fan of looking back on the previous year and looking back at all of our choices that we could have made, you know, different decisions in. That's not the point, and that's not going to be the point of this lesson, you know, because those choices have already been made. You know, I'm much more interested in looking forward to choices that are going to present themselves to us this year. I want to look towards choices that are going to present themselves to us this month, you know, this week. Choices that you're going to have tomorrow, even the choices that you're going to have later on today. That's what I want to focus on. I want to focus on the choices that we have now. Because again, like I said, we can't change any of the decisions that we made last year. So I'm not even going to try. But we can learn from them. You can learn from the decisions that you made last year, and you can learn from this lesson as well. You know, and we can learn to maybe make different choices. We can learn to maybe make different decisions. And a warning before I even get started, don't use this lesson to beat yourself up. You know, don't use this lesson. This is probably even worse. Don't use this lesson to beat other people up. You know, don't think in your head that this lesson is going to be awesome if, you know, so-and-so could hear it. You know, don't think, oh my goodness, I just wish that this person would hear this lesson. You know, I can't wait to just send this lesson link to such and such person. You know, don't fall into the disease that this lesson is going to be awesome for everybody but you. Because I think often we fall down to that. You know, this lesson was inspired by God the Holy Spirit, especially for you. He designed this lesson in a way that's going to pierce your soul if you feel like letting him. You know, that's the choice that you get to make right now during this lesson. Are you going to learn the lesson that God's teaching you today? You get to make that decision. You get to make the decision today if you're going to allow this message to inspire you to make bold choices throughout 2014. And you can make those choices with absolute confidence if you want to. You know, that's the hope and that's the prayer that I have for this lesson today. Again, not that you use this lesson as a weapon on other people, but instead I'd much rather you use this lesson to equip it as armor for yourself, so that way you can use it to walk boldly in the face of difficult decisions. You know, I'm so tired of, especially with my job, you know, I deal with people's finances all day, and just the fear inside of people to make a decision. You know, and I don't want to see us stand paralyzed anymore by the fear of consequences any longer. And that's what we're going to learn about today. We're going to learn not to focus on the consequences of decisions like we usually do. Instead, we're going to learn to focus on Christ while we make our decisions. We're going to learn to boldly make decisions for God, not for ourselves, not for our spouses, not for our boyfriends, not for our girlfriends, not for your parents, not for your friends, not for anybody else. We're going to learn to make decisions for Christ. We can fog everything else out and just focus on Christ when we make decisions. We're going to learn that if you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. We're going to learn that when we make decisions, we don't need to worry about tomorrow because tomorrow is going to care for itself. We're going to learn that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Or in other words, we're going to learn to have faith. We're going to learn to have confidence in every decision that we make. we're going to learn that it's better to give your life to Christ than to keep it for yourself. And that actually, that reminds me of an illustration, so I want to go ahead and share that with you. Back in high school, every year during spring break, I would take a trip to California. And it wasn't just me, it was the entire high school youth group of the church that I used to be a part of. And every year for spring break, our youth group, we would get on the biggest, ugliest, old, yellow school bus you could imagine, and we would take a road trip throughout the state of California. So like I said, I was from Oregon, so we would go down to Sacramento, then, you know, hang west towards San Francisco, take the 101 all the way down to L.A., and then we would just I-5 it all the way back up. You know, obviously stopping at all the major cities. And what we were doing, we would help out other organizations. So we'd go and do a lot of community service work. And then we would also do another thing. We would do street evangelism. So yes, some of you may have put that together. I was one of those annoying people who would come up to you and I would start asking you questions. But it wasn't actually that bad. We simply had conversations with people. You know, and just think about that, high schoolers. And we have, you know, adult supervision with us, but we're walking around all of these cities on these streets, and we got to meet just amazing people. We got to meet wealthy business owners, we got to meet politicians, we got to meet families, all the way down. We even got to meet, you know, with a lot of homeless people and just have real raw conversations with these people and to learn about their lives. And again, for high schoolers, you know, that's a pretty powerful experience. I still take that with me today. And one of the conversation that I want to tell us about is what one of my leaders had this conversation. He painted this illustration with someone we were talking to. So I want to do the same thing for you now. This is what he said. So go ahead and do this. Imagine that someone gave you the most beautiful car that you could ever think of in the world. So there it is. That is the most beautiful car that you could ever think of. A nice, beautiful, red, cartoon convertible. But imagine driving it down the road. Imagine showing this car off to all of your close friends and all of your family members. You know, whatever that car is for you, just imagine all of the experiences that you get to have because of this beautiful car that somebody gave you. But now imagine that that same person who gave you that car asked you if you'd be okay if he drove you around in it. So that's the question. Would you let him? Would you let that person drive that car, the same person who gave it to you? Some of you might be thinking, absolutely not. You know, his loss. But in all sincerity, I mean, the obvious answer is yes, right? You're going to let him drive you around in it. You know, he gave you the car. You're going to let him do anything he wants with that car. Well, that person who gave you that car is God. And that car is your life. So that begs this question. Are you going to let God navigate your life? Are you going to let God drive you around? Are you going to let him be your GPS? Are you going to go where he's leading you? Are you going to take the off-ramps that he's giving you? Are you going to take the pit stops that he gives you along the way? Or instead, are you going to take that wheel? Because you don't like being in the passenger seat. You know, because you have to be in control of your own life because it's your life after all. It's your car now. You know, that's a serious question. Are you someone who always feels that you have to be in control of a situation? You know, do you feel that if you need things done right, then you have to be the one to do it yourself? And I ask you this because, again, I know people like this who have this disease. It's completely understandable, but I'm telling you, that's not true. You know, if you need something done right, that doesn't mean that you have to do it yourself. It's not true. And it's not true simply because I'm telling you that, which would make my life a lot easier if that was the case. But it's not true because you're a Christian. It's not true because you're a believer in Christ. It's not true because God gave you a book of promises called the Bible that tells you otherwise. You know, if you really want to feel that, if you really want to feel what it's like to just give complete control of your life away to God, go skydiving. I'm telling the truth. Go skydiving. Just think about that. And so we're going to think about that. We're going to draw it down. That's giving absolute control over to God. You know, so we'll go through the steps. First, you have to trust that God's going to provide the funds for you to even go. Right? Because that wasn't in your budget. And skydiving is going to cost you some money. Then you got to trust that God's actually going to get you there safely. And if you're from here in Phoenix and you've driven on any of these highways, you know that there's always a possibility that you won't get somewhere safely. Then you got to trust that God's going to provide you with an expert that's going to skydive with you, because typically in your first time, you're going tandem. So you got to trust that this person knows what he's doing, because his life, your life is in his hands. You know, you then have to trust that God's going to get that plane to 12,000 feet safely. And I only put that in there because I remember when I went skydiving, we were on this rackety, ugly-looking airplane. And I remember sitting down, there's two dozen of us inside of here, and there's just one little hole for us to jump out of. And I remember just climbing altitude, feeling, I could just feel the plane just, you know, I think I can. You know, just like if you're driving up a hill in an old beat-up car, that's how I felt, this rackety old airplane. I didn't think it would get us to 12,000 feet. I wanted to jump out ahead of time because I thought that if it started going down, we weren't going to be able to get out safely. So you got to trust that God's going to do that for you. Then, of course, you got to trust that God's going to have all of this equipment work correctly. And then the fun part, when you actually jump, when you actually just let go of all control of your life and you jump with absolute faith and absolute confidence, you got to know that God's going to land you safely. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking that there might be some other ways that this could end. You know, you've seen YouTube and you've seen the news. But what's the worst case scenario? That's my question. What's the worst case scenario of you skydiving? I mean, seriously, so everyone's thinking, death. But think about that. You know, the worst case scenario is you make it to heaven just in time for an endless supply of Lord's suppers. Think about that. Now, I know that I'm making light of, you know, making light of that situation, but seriously, what is so bad about that situation? You know, when did we hit a point in our lives where we started thinking that heaven is a bad alternative to life? Because that's not true. Because Paul tells us in Philippians 1:21 that to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, I'm pretty sure he believed that. To live is Christ and to die is gain. So now to refocus our example, you know, refocus our attention on the car example. God is begging us to let him drive that car that he gave us. You know, he has a plan already mapped out for our lives. But he's not just going to, you know, live it for you. It's up to you if you want to go along on that ride. So are you going to let him? Because that's the question that you have to ask yourselves. You know, God gave us this gift called life. And he wants to drive that vehicle to ensure that we get to experience it to the fullest. You know, John 10:10, you know, part B tells us, says, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's what Christ is saying. Christ came so that way you can have life to the fullest. So ask yourself that question, are you living up to that? And I'm not telling you that you have to be perfect. Are you living up to being able to take confident risks in God? You know, are we going to let our decisions be based on Christ? Or instead, are we just going to let our decisions be based on our usual selfishness? You know, are we going to let our decisions be based on other people? Are we going to let our decisions be based on money? We're going to let our decisions be based on fun? You know, or everything else that we base decisions on. We have a list of reasons why we do stuff. And how high is God up there on that totem pole? Or are we going to let our decisions be based upon Christ's standards? Right, that's a difficult decision to make, isn't it? So the question is, are we going to go skydiving or not? That's a tough pill to swallow, which I completely understand. So I'll tell you what. I'll give you 5 minutes. That way you could think about it. You could talk with your loved ones. And then when we come back, we'll continue with the lesson. So go ahead and take a 5-minute break. And our break song is My Desire by Jeremy Camp.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the King. Oh yeah. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire. To be used by you. Wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Welcome back. So did you decide if you're going to go skydiving or not? No, during the break I was just, you know, we were talking and I just realized somebody is going to go skydiving and of course they're going to die and go to heaven and then Barah Ministries is going to have a lawsuit on their hands. So, you know, all I can say since we're on record is A, I can't make you do anything, and B, I'll delete this lesson if that ever happens. No, but I want to go ahead. I want to focus our attention, you know, for this next half of the lesson on some literature. You know, and we've read this specific passage probably a dozen times over the years here at Barah. But I just want to examine it again today. You know, maybe it's just, you know, fresh set of eyes. Maybe it's a different light. But the passage is from Teddy Roosevelt, who in a speech that he once gave, this is just part of what he said. He said, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, who at best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that way his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who knew neither victory nor defeat." You know, that's a beautiful passage. And you can take whatever you want out of that passage. But in essence, what he is saying is he's saying make a choice. Make a choice and don't think and focus or dwell on the consequences. What he's saying is don't sit in the sidelines, you know, talking about everybody else. You know, don't be somebody who just focuses their attention on what everybody else can do. Instead, actually get yourself on the line. And what's the worst case scenario? You fail? He says, don't focus on all of those consequences. You know, don't dwell on all your possible outcomes. He's telling you not to be scared to get into the arena. He's telling you to get up, grab the bat, and just swing. Don't worry about home runs. Don't worry about striking out. He's telling you not to focus on your success or your failure here. He's simply saying, make a choice. You know, and your choice of not getting in the arena, that's a choice. You know, but as humans, though, how do we typically make our choices? And let's be honest with that question. How do you typically make a choice? How do you typically make a choice? Because we make hundreds of choices every day. So how do you make them? Do you even think before you make your decisions? And again, if we're being honest, oftentimes we don't. But when you do think before you make a choice, what goes through your mind? You know, before you make a decision and you actually do sit and pause and think about, you know, all the scenarios, what goes through your mind? Do you think about how your decision is going to affect you? Do you think about how your decision is going to affect your significant other? You know, do you focus on how your decisions are going to affect your friends? You know, when you make a decision, especially kids, do you think about how it's going to affect your parents? Or why don't we flip these roles a little bit? Because I know here at Barah we like to attack teenagers, but let's put the ball in the parents' court. Parents, when you make a decision, do you think about how that affects your children? You know, when you make decisions, do you think about how it affects your life? That being said, what about those life-changing decisions? You know, and you're going to have these life-changing decisions, and you're going to have some of these maybe this year. You know, do you get married? Do you not get married? Well, if you do get married, well, who do you want to get married to? What type of a person will you want to get married to? You know, what about this person I'm dating? Am I going to marry this person? Am I not going to marry this person? Well, if I'm not going to marry this person, then, well, okay, well, what am I dating this person? You know, or what about with schools, colleges? You know, what do I want to major in? Well, what do I want to minor in? Do I even want to go to school? Well, if I do go to school, where would I want to go to school? Well, I don't know. I guess that would depend on what I want to major in. You know, or what about when you finally graduate school or you finally get out of high school or whatnot, then you think, well, okay, do I want to work for a small company, a large company, a mid-sized company? Do I want to start my own company? Well, if I did start my own company, would I want to have employees? Would I not want to have employees? Or what about when you're finally making money, right? Do I save up? Do I just buy this cheap car cash and then work my way up? Do I just finance a nice car? Same principle in a house, you know? Now it's time, you know, do I want to have an apartment? Do I want to have a condo? Do I want to have a townhome? Do I want to have a house? Well, how many houses am I going to have in my life? Do I want to have rental properties? Well, if I do buy a house, where do I want to live in? Am I going to be tied down? Do I live in this state, that state? You know, these are decisions you make, you know? You think about how many kids. Do you want to have kids? Do you not want to have kids? How many kids do you want to have? You know, these are real, real decisions. And again, you might have one or two of these decisions to make this year. These are real decisions in our lives, and I want to help you make them. So yes, you heard me correctly. Today and today only, I'm willing to help you make every last one of those difficult decisions in your life. You have nothing to worry about because I'm here to make it simple. You know, the last time that I was up here, I bombarded us with verses. Well, this time I want to do the opposite. If there's only one verse that we get this lesson, I want it to be this one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's what I want stuck in your head. Or said another way. This is said the Caleb way. Focus on Christ. Everything else is taken care of. Again, you could just get tunnel vision on Christ. And you could blur out everything else that Satan uses to distract us. Focus on Christ and everything else is going to be taken care of. Do you know what that means? This should be liberating. That means that you can finally get rid of all of those annoying pros and cons lists. And I know you make them. So, and I'm sorry. I personally don't even understand pros and cons lists. And it's so often I'm talking with people and they'll tell me they do them. I've never ever changed my mind as a result of a pros and cons list. You know, the only thing I've ever used one for is to reinforce the decision that I was already leaning toward before I even started writing it down. You know, I never told myself there's no way I'm going to make that decision. And then after 30 minutes of wasting my time on a pros and cons list, looked down and said, I got 11 pros and 9 cons. I guess I'm going to make it. But either way, people still make these. But this is what humans do. We muck up everything. That's just what we do. We trash anything and everything. And just think about this for a second. Satan has us deceived into writing down a dozen reasons why or why we shouldn't make a decision. He has us convinced that talking ourselves into a decision would actually sustain us when we're going through the consequences of that decision. You know, again, if you make a decision, it doesn't work out the way you think, what do? You fall back on, well, I had those 11 pros, so I guess there's nothing else I could have done. I mean, and I know not all of us are this extreme, but Satan still has us deceived into just this false sense of confidence, this false hope, this idea of all of our decisions have to be built and based upon so many outcomes to the point where we just get confused. Well, here's how you make a decision. You seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So if you have a choice to make today, before you make that choice, you think, oh, I know. I'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to me. That means that you don't focus on yourself. That means, believe it or not, that you don't even think about the people that your decision impacts. Now, I'm not telling you to be selfish and rude. I'm saying don't focus on any other objects except for Christ. It means you focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. It means that if you focus on Christ and you make decisions with His discernment that He teaches you loud and clear in the Bible, that you don't need to think about the outcome. You don't need to dwell on the outcome. You don't need to, you know, get so stressed and worried about all the different scenarios that could happen. It means you could just keep life simple. You don't have to focus on the consequences. You don't need to worry about everyone else because God's going to take care of it. That's all it means. It means that your life doesn't have to be so complicated. You know, do you still remember back when I was in middle school, the most popular bracelet thing in the world was a WWJD. You know, what does that stand for? What would Jesus do? Right? And you're giving these to middle schoolers and high schoolers. And we know, you know, we could take it one more step. We know that obviously before you can do, you have to think. So we can change that then to what would Jesus think? And if you ask yourself that question, if you just take a second to ask yourself that question before you make a decision, usually your answers are pretty simple. Once we start arguing with ourselves, that's when we can complicate it. But if you just focus, what would Jesus think? If I just focus on what the Bible says, what does Jesus say about this or that? Your decisions are really simple. The Bible doesn't confuse your decisions. You know, God is not a God of confusion. And I'm talking even hard questions. You know, even those life-changing questions that we talked about earlier. And this is why I was a big fan of these bracelets, simply because, right, as a teenager, it's not like I'm going to stop and think about everything. But at least the bracelet, at least it gave you another opportunity to just stop for just a second and then make your bad decision. But at least you stopped. Most teenagers now aren't even stopping. They're just going right through the motions. But you can make a decision while thinking with the mind of Christ. And you could be okay, regardless of circumstance, regardless of the outcome. And why is this again? Because of Matthew? No. Actually, yes. But it's because of Romans 8:28. Because we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Again, we don't have to make every decision in our lives so trivial. We don't have to focus on all of the what-ifs, even in those difficult decisions. You know, like choosing a spouse or choosing a career. Again, we muck those up because we got lists. We got criteria. Now, I know that some parents probably don't want to hear this. It's easy for me to say because I'm not a parent. But this means that parents, your children, might not make a decision based on your advice. Because it means that maybe they can take Jesus' advice and just have faith like a child. Maybe they don't have to complicate every single decision with someone else's voice in their ears. You know, maybe we can just drown out all of that background chatter and just focus on Christ and make a decision for God. That's all I'm saying. You know, I told you, I think I did my job, that I wanted to help you make all of these decisions in your life easier. So how do you make decisions in your life easier? And if you don't know it by now, then you got to just press rewind. It's Matthew 6:33. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Says, don't worry about any of the consequences. Just focus on me. I'll take care of everything else. And if you got to hear the lesson that Deacon Elliott taught, you know, Christ proves that in His answered prayer to King Solomon. King Solomon asked for discernment. and God gave it to him and said, hey, by the way, I'm going to give you everything else too. Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. No pros and cons list. No analysis paralysis. No overemphasis of consequences. Simply love God and make decisions with the mind of Christ. Use the Bible for your discernment. So I want to close this lesson with a poem. And if you might know where I'm going, because I don't believe this lesson on choice could be complete with a little bit of Robert Frost. So as you probably could have guessed, we're going to read his poem, The Road Not Taken. So I'll read that for you. It says, two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for the passing there, had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. You know, when I was a kid, and I first heard this poem, I thought that poem was simply just telling me, hey, Caleb, whatever most people are doing in your peer group, just do something else, and you're going to be fine. I thought it meant always, always just go against the crowd, no matter what, just go against the grain. Quite frankly, as a child, it's not necessarily the worst advice. You know, it was nice to at least have a compass when I made decisions. But it didn't make the decisions easier. You know, the decisions that I made, or that anyone makes of that matter, some of them were still really, really hard. Well, now that I'm older, and now that I've grown closer to Christ and my relationship with him, I look at this poem entirely different. Because now I think of the road less traveled as Christ. And I think of the other road as everything else. That makes decisions so easy. Even all of those scary ones. Because just like, you know, the traveler in this poem, he didn't know what was going to happen at the end of that road. He had a decision between two roads, and he picked one. He didn't focus on the consequences. You know, that's why these scary decisions are so much easier when you could just focus on Christ and don't muck it up with everything around us. You know, even those hard ones. And again, it's because all I have to do to make a decision for Christ, you know, that's all I have to do. And I can ignore all of the other noise in the world. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. We also know that God knows the plans that he has for us. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. To give us a future and a hope. So think about that. Think about this lesson. Think about everything that I've told you this year as you make decisions. You know, think about those when some of those life-changing decisions that we talked about, they'll think about this when they come around this year. Because what I challenge you to do is to make those decisions with absolute confidence. I challenge you to make those decisions knowing for a fact that your God is in control. I challenge you to make them knowing that you can't make a mess that's too difficult for Christ to clean up. And that's what I used to think, especially when I was younger. I used to think that, okay, fine, if I could do this, God could take care of it, God could take care of that. But if I go and play over here, this is the point of no return in my life. Well, that diminishes the power of Christ. You know, it's just not true. You know, I challenge you to make decisions without fear that things aren't going to go your way. Why? Because I'm assuming that Paul knew what he was talking about when he said, "We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God." So in closing today, my hope and my prayer is that you take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Think with the mind of Christ. Our closing song today is going to be "Draw Me Close" by Cutlass. Let us pray. God, thank you for teaching us that decisions don't have to be so difficult. Thank you for equipping us with your word so that way we can make decisions with absolute confidence in you. I pray that you help us make decisions in our lives with this in mind. I pray that you help us to shut out the world in 2014 and to listen to your advice. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit and in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.